Turn tonight to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Sometimes it's instructive that you pick out a word and you focus on that word. Tonight, I would like to focus on the word living. What makes true Christianity unique is that we don't follow a dead prophet. We don't follow dead people. We serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
Who's in the world today. And it, you know, that Easter song, Christ Arose, it's valid all the time. Because Christ is living. And folks, we're going to look tonight at characteristics of God as being alive. But then also characteristics that we need to be in order to be alive also. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 32. And in this text, it says the same day came to him the Sadducees. Now, this is the time that people were coming to Jesus and they were questioning him. They were trying to trip him up. You're not going to trip up the God of the universe who made everything. I think it's hilarious that they would even think to try to outsmart God. You can't do that. Peter was learning. Now, Peter tried to stop God's plan. That wasn't going to happen. And it says here, it says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, asked him. You know, unfortunately, the Jewish faith, they're got factions inside of there. Some of them are even more unbiblical than some. But it says that there's no resurrection, asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. That's all about the inheritance. Now there was with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Now we're going to catch God here. We're going to catch Christ here. We're going to trip him up. Now, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And I just love the straightforward answer that Jesus gave. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err.
Right.
You're wrong. You're wrong. And here's the reason why. Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Folks, you will be in error if you don't do what the Bible says.
Right.
You will be in error if you don't know the scriptures and you try to do things on your own. You will be in error if you deny the power of God. The Sadducees had three strikes, they're out. Verse 30. For in the resurrection, he didn't say for if there was a resurrection, for in the resurrection. See, they had a bad premise at the beginning. And you know something? It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what God says. It matters what the Bible says. It matters what Christ says. Those things ought to be very important to us. And we need to stand for the truth. It says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor is given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Amen.
I am so glad that we don't serve a dead faith. I'm so glad that we don't serve a dead prophet or a dead God or some idol that doesn't move. But we serve a living Savior. He arose! If Christ was not arose, then we'd be still dead in our sins. Our belief would be vain, as it says in 1 Corinthians. So tonight I want to take five things about God and about Him living. First of all, our God is the living God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of all those that believe." There's three things that we see in this verse tonight. First of all, we see there's a call. It says, who is the Savior of all men? It doesn't mean that all men are saved. It means that He can be the Savior of all men. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God is not... is long-suffering to us, is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But see, we see here who is the Savior of all men, but the problem is there's a choice to be made. We have a choice to follow God or not. We have a choice to believe in a living God or not. And it says, especially of those who what? Believe. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe that He is the only way to get to heaven? Do you believe that He saved you? Do you believe that He forgave you of your sins? That's what makes a difference, folks. That's what gives hope. He is a living God. It's a call. It's a choice. And then lastly, it's a commitment. It says, because we trust in a living God. You know what that trust allows you to do? It allows you to labor. You know, no one works unless we have a reason to work. Our work is that we have a living Savior. We have the living God. And, oh, by the way, trust allows you to get through the bad times too. It allows you to get through the bad times and suffer reproach. All that live godly shall what? Suffer persecution. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. So we need to understand that we have a living God. There is the living Christ. There is the living Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, it says, to whom coming as unto a what? Living stone. Okay? Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as what? As lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ, Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Folks, your belief in Christ should not lead to confusion. Your belief in Christ should not be something that you should ever doubt. It shouldn't confound you. It shouldn't confuse you. We should stand amazed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. But it shouldn't cause us to be ashamed or confounded at all. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Boy, when Jesus said that, they went nuts. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, which what the Sadducees were, okay, whereunto also they were appointed. See, the living Christ is a living stone. He's the living stone. And folks, we need to stand on it. It's the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the thing that you set first. Folks, in our spiritual life, you can't have a spiritual life unless you set Christ first in the place that He needs to be, your Savior, and then your Lord. And so we set the cornerstone first, and then every other stone on the foundation of a building is judged off of that, is reckoned off of that. He's a living stone, He's a cornerstone, and He should be precious. It says, unto you therefore, which believe, He is precious. Oh, do we see the living Christ as being precious? You know, Christ is all I need. He's precious. But once again, it's this choice. You have a choice to believe or a choice not to believe. And if you don't believe, then He becomes a stumbling stone. Doesn't matter what you think, what you read in other writings, or else, Christ is alive.
Amen.
He is living. He's waiting. He's waiting for the Father to say, go get your church.
Amen.
Go get your bride. He's waiting. And we can't stumble at that. We need to understand that that's precious. And we need to understand that He's a living stone. And it says He also has what? Lively stones. Why should we live a life of defeat and act as if we're dead? I mean, you go to churches today and they're almost like a mausoleum. Huge works, but no one in there. No one in there. Oh, folks, we can't have that happen here. We can't have that happen in your life. We serve a living Christ. So we see the living God, we see the living Christ, and then there's the living Spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 10, this is the woman at the well. And, you know, the disciples are not gone. They're gone. They've been sent to get meat, and it's just Jesus and her. Folks, tonight it's Jesus and you. Each one of us individually. Okay? But it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And it just blows her mind. She says, hey, I want some of this water that I never have to go back to this well and get any sort of water again. Make it easy for me. No, he wasn't talking about that. He's talking about eternity. See, to understand that the woman at the well needed Christ is that she had to see the need. She was at that well for a reason. Folks, we come to God for a reason. We need to come to God because we're thirsty for Him. We need to come to God because we're hungry for Him. And what we need to understand is the living Spirit that allows us to understand that we have a need. It's also the living Spirit that convicts us of our requirement to heed that need. And what she said here is this, and then you need to proceed to the source. Up here in the first part of this verse, it says, if thou what? Knewest the gift of God, and who, what's the gift of God? Salvation. Eternal life. And who is it? Is he? And who it is that saith to thee? Who is that? That's the Messiah. He's the one that can give the gift. There's nobody else. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby we what? We must be saved. And the issue is that, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead us into what? All truth. He will convict the world of sin. He will do it. If we didn't have a living Spirit, we'd be just empty vessels. going nowhere, just aimlessly walking around. See, it's the living God that put all this in place. It's the living Christ that gives us a way to have fellowship with the living God. It's the living Spirit that allows us to partake of the divine nature and understand that we could do things that we could never do before until we met Christ. And it says He will convict it. And it's also here in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth.
Yeah.
If there wasn't a living Spirit, we would all be spiritually dead. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I thank God for God the Son. I thank God for God the Father. We need to thank Him for all. And they're all alive. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, folks, we need to get a glimpse of the living God. We need to follow the living Savior. And we need to be empowered by the living Spirit. All three give us a living way. Give us a living way. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, by a new and living way, which He had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. You know, I despise traffic. I hate it. And when I get caught in traffic, I act like a drop of water. I start going, yeah. I start going each which way. I go onto a side street and I sit there and say, yeah. And now I got a thing that tells me which direction I'm going, or I can follow the sun. I try all this pilotage stuff. It doesn't work on roads. But you know something? Sometimes I get off and I do all this running. I think I'm making progress. And then I wind up into a dead end. And then you know what? I have to backtrack all the way back to the way that I was going and get back on that way and get to my destination that way. See, the issue is that God's way is the living way. He will take us to where we need to go. If we stray off of that, we're going to go into dead ends. We're going to go into dead ends. It says, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. You know, the living way that we have is the cross. In John chapter 14, verse 6, a very familiar verse, He says, Jesus said unto him, unto Thomas, because Thomas was says, Lord, how can we know the way? And He says, I am the way. Present tense.
Right.
I am the truth. Present tense. And the life. Present tense. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Folks, tonight, are we walking in the living way? This new and consecrated way, one that will get us to holiness? Or are we trying to shortcut? Are we trying to get around and make it easier, thinking make it faster and achieve our goals better on our own way and wind up in a dead end? We need to understand that He is the living way. So we see the living God. We see the living Christ. We see the living Spirit. We see the living way. And finally tonight, we see the living hope. All these things are alive. You know, we do a good thing at home killing plants. You know, get a plant, try to take care of it. And all of a sudden, things start to change on it. Leaves start falling off. And try to do some more help to it. And then all of a sudden, it's a stick. And it's dead. It's no longer alive. Okay? And we killed it. You know who can kill your spiritual walk? You can. You can. You know, you can have all the water in the world. You can have all the fertilizer in the world. But if you don't apply it right, if you don't use it right, if you don't stay in the way, it's going to be worthless. It's going to be worthless. The thing that keeps us going, folks, is a living hope. You know, Paul says, this present, I reckon that these present sufferings that I have can't be compared to the glory that I will have in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a what? Lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, you're talking about all these fundamentals of the faith. You know, if you have a living hope, you will have a hope that will praise God. Somewhere along the way, somewhere in the day, somewhere in the week, even in church, you've got to praise God. You got to praise God. It says, "Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word for blessed is praise. Are you happy where you're going for eternity? Amen. You better be. We better be. It gives us a lively hope. And it's a hope that should praise God. You know, if God takes everything away or allows everything to be taken away, we still have God. We still have eternal life. We still have all those things. It really doesn't matter what's on this side of eternity. It matters what's on the other side of eternity. Amen. So this living hope should be one. It should be a hope that praises God. It should be a hope that acknowledges God. You know, we need to thank Him for His abundant mercies. We need to thank Him for His grace. We need to thank Him for His peace. You know, we just need to get into a thankful mode for all of His character qualities that He gives us. We need to thank Him for the fruit of the Spirit, even though it's tough to get there. But it says here, it says, "Blessed be the God or Father, Lord Jesus Christ." There's the praise, which according to His abundant mercy hath forgotten us. We acknowledge that He gave the mercy. We acknowledge that He gave us. He has begotten us again. We acknowledge that He gives us that hope. And then lastly, it's a hope that's provided by God. To a lively hope by the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Folks, we're alive physically right now. But are we alive spiritually? Have we been born again? There is a living God. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There's the living Christ. He's living because He conquered death. And He conquered sin to make a way for us. There's the living Spirit that should be inside of us and making us do things. There is the living way that we should follow. And then lastly, there's the living hope. Are we living in these? Are we living in these? Are we living or not? That's a choice that we make. But it's something that we need to get back on the side of living. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to leave this place spiritually alive. Father, someone here does not know you. Lord, I pray that tonight that they've come to saving knowledge of you. Realize what you did on the cross was for them. And they would cry out to you, like the woman at the well, and understand that you are God, you're also our Savior, and you give the gift of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that we ask for forgiveness of sins, and we ask for that gift. Lord, I pray that someone, Lord, will come to that saving knowledge of you. I pray that the names that we mentioned tonight would come to that knowledge and come to that belief. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us to live life to the fullest, to live life following the living God. Be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.